defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Our latest issue of the Christian Research Journal is a treasure trove of valuable information, including feature articles on the postmodern pagan myth of Avatar and the use of neuroscience to explain faith and morality. Today, Hank is joined by Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. And be sure to stay tuned as Hank also welcomes filmmaker Brian Gadawa later on in the broadcast. If you'd like to join in the conversation with Elliot Miller and Hank Hanegraaff, give us a call right now at 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here is the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And remember, today, as you listen to the broadcast, you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 in the letters CRI. The Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine. It is a must-have tool in your apologetics arsenal. The journal is on the cutting edge in the battle for what is true and right by probing today's religious movements, promoting critical thinking, and providing reasons for Christian faith and ethics. It features in-depth feature articles, and we're going to be talking about that today, book reviews, practical evangelism tips, thought-provoking opinion pieces, and it's brought to you in a powerful contemporary graphics in an eye-catching full-color format. A one-year subscription costs less than 1 month's cable bill, less than $40. A two-year subscription, $72. I write an article for every edition of the Christian Research Journal. And in this particular Christian Research Journal, the one we're featuring on the broadcast today, I answer this question somewhat provocatively. Is Jesus a dummy with a painfully short attention span? And the reason I do is that what New Testament critic Bart Ehrman categorizes as one of his favorite apparent discrepancies in the Bible would be relatively easy for him to resolve were he not so hopelessly lost in a wooden literal labyrinth of his own making. In his book, Jesus Interrupted, he cites the problem as follows. In John 13:36, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" A few verses later, Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going." And then a few minutes later, at the same meal, Jesus upbraids his disciples, saying, "Now, I am going to the one who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going?" Well, that leaves only two possibilities, according to Bart Ehrman. Either Jesus had a very short attention span, or there is something strange going on with the sources for these chapters. Well, allow me to underscore what is painfully obvious to anyone who engages Bart's so-called problems with the Bible. Professor Ehrman, it seems, is wholly incapable of comprehending the subtlety of sophisticated literary nuances. Instead, he's bent on forcing the text through a fundamentalist filter. Peter and Jesus obviously utter the words, "Where are you going?" with decidedly different drifts. And while the disciples focus on mean earthly vanities, Christ intended to elevate their gaze to eternal verities. So, was Jesus a dummy with a painfully short attention span, or is Professor Ehrman hopelessly lost in a literalistic labyrinth? You can be the judge after reading the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Again, it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order in a safe, secure fashion online at www.equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI, joining me on the broadcast today, always a pleasure to have him on the broadcast, Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Hi, Elliot.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Last time I was with you, we were speaking on a cruise, and the platform was moving.
Yes, yes. The spirit was moving as well. That was just a real spiritual hard point of my year, I have to say. I was drafted to replace Steve Camp, who had a family emergency, and I had to turn around, drive home, get my passport, and come back. So I killed myself off trying to get there, but the Lord sustained me, and I was sure glad He did, because I didn't realize what I was getting into. That was like the ultimate spiritual retreat. I mean, teaching morning, evening, fellowship all day long with such a wonderful group of believers. Going out and seeing some of the glories of God's creation, enjoying them with each other, and just, you know, we were cracking everybody up at the dinner table, seems like, on a nightly basis as well. So we had a lot of fun.
And I tell you, Elliot, as excited as you are about the cruise, you talk about it as being one of the spiritual highlights of the year, you were equally stoked about the Christian Research Journal. And for those of you who have never heard Elliot Miller talk about the Christian Research Journal, here's your chance to hear why Elliot Miller believes that this is one of the most valuable apologetic tools in the Christian world today.
Well, I absolutely do, Hank, and it really is not because I'm involved with it. I believe that is just something I've been blessed to be a part of. But I really believe being involved with this magazine since its inception, when Walter Martin conceived of it way back in the late 1970s, and then seeing it develop, I have really become convinced over the years that the Lord is doing unique work through the Christian Research Journal of equipping His people to deal with the post-Christian culture that we find ourselves in the midst of, a culture that is rapidly changing, and there's always some new challenge to Christian faith coming down the pike, being promoted on Oprah or, through the internet or in the movies or in some new book. And God's people can no longer afford, when I came to Christ in 1970, we were coming out of a great sleep, sort of the fundamentalist era in the evangelical church, where the church withdrew from academia and from debate with atheists, evolutionists, and so forth, and just considered that to be a hopeless cause and compromising their own spirituality and not wanting to read unedifying materials. And so just basically it became a very ingrown movement, fundamentalism, and out of touch. And what that did was, up until that point in history, Christians were playing a leading role in Western culture, including academia, science, good works, hospitals, and all different kinds of works of mercy. But at that point, we just sort of withdrew from the battle. And so when I came to Christ, there wasn't that much available in the way of apologetic materials. And I really believe that that's a direct relationship with the fact that we entered rapidly, in my own lifetime, into a post-Christian culture. I grew up just thinking that Christians had no answers. I really believed that, and I was absolutely stunned when Jesus Christ revealed Himself to me and plugged me into solid evangelical scholarship that there were answers. And so I've devoted my life, and I think CRI is very much devoted to equipping Christians to deal with these challenges to faith, whether they come from the cults, the occult, secular humanism, world religions, whatever the source is. We're in a pluralistic culture. We get it from all directions. But we need to be discerning as to where people are coming from, what their arguments are, why their arguments are not well-founded, and what the defense for the Bible is. And so this is the age of apologetics as far as Christians needing, you know, are waking up to their need to equip themselves, and there's no vehicle, there's no medium for doing that better on a lay level, on a widespread level, than the Christian Research Journal. It's designed for that purpose.
I want you to talk for a moment, Elliot, about an article smack dab in the middle of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal titled "God on the Brain." First there was the gay gene, now supposedly there is the God gene. And this God gene is not so much saying that God created us, and therefore we have a knowledge of God that is inscribed on the tablet of our consciousness, but that belief in God may have some pragmatic value for our health and well-being, whether or not it's true.
Right, and this is sort of your evolutionary psychology, you know, meets brain science kind of melding of a view of the purpose of religion, explaining it in evolutionary terms. In other words, that this is an adaptation of the human brain for the purpose of survival, that creating culture helps us survive. Religious myths bring cohesion to culture and to society, and therefore they have survival value. And so our brains have been adapted to do these things. And, you know, of course, with that, you know, this is just a wonderful article. I really like our author for this article, Angus Manouge. He is just, he's a great writer, very thoughtful and really right on in his assessment of these things. He gets right to the heart of the matter. And I'm so glad that he wrote this for us. And he just points out that there are all kinds of aspects of what religion really is that are not even being addressed by these arguments. In other words, it's a question-begging enterprise. You know, you're assuming at the outset that there is no spiritual reality, so therefore everything is explained on a physiological basis, but you're never dealing with the very value you seem to see in this religion. Because you're at that point, you have to step into a metaphysical realm, and you're denying that even exists.
What does it matter to us, though? In other words, why is it important for someone to pick up this magazine and read an article like God on the Brain?
Because you're going to find people who are absorbing these ideas, you know, popping up in your life. You're going to find them in the person sitting next to you on an airplane. You're going to find them in your own family. Somebody goes off to college, they come back and they're spouting these ideas. I mean, the ideas that we're dealing with here are not just off being, you know, discussed in some ivory tower somewhere. They are being disseminated into the culture, and they show up in books. I mean, I see books like this with these premises popping up on the bestseller list on a regular basis. So they're definitely books that people who are reading and who are seeking an understanding of science and culture are going to be absorbing. So it's important for us, number one, so that we have answers for them, and number two, so that we can see what the problems with some of these views are. Because if you just heard one side of it, you know, you might even think it's a valid view yourself, and so all of a sudden you're buying into something that really creates problems for the Christian faith if you follow it to its conclusions.
A sure sign that the West has lost its transcendent moorings is its frenetic search for secular God substitutes, postmodernism, environmentalism, feminism, Darwinism, and many other isms are frequently embraced not as academic theories, but as deeply religious worldviews. And now the idea that neuroscience is the final answer to the human quest for self-knowledge makes it all the more important for us in the West to know what's going on as our faith is being systematically eroded. The West is dying, as far as genuine evangelical Christianity. In the East, there is wildfire. In the West, there is no fire. The problem in the West is we know more than we obey. In the East, they obey more than they know. This does not mean that we should curb our appetite for knowledge, but that we should ever more be vigilant and always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. The Christian Research Journal is a sure way of equipping yourself to always be ready. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI, you can also write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the other side of the break, Brian Gadawa, screenwriter for the award-winning feature film To End All Wars, one of my favorite movies, will join us. He's a mutant. He's written an incredible article on Avatar, a postmodern pagan myth. Be right back with my good friend Brian Gadawa. Stay tuned.
Can brain research explain the origin of morality and religion? According to both religion detractor Richard Dawkins and religion advocates Andrew Newberg and Mark Waldman, it can. But whether these scientists are against us or for us, their conclusions are flawed. In the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, you'll find insightful articles such as this in-depth look into neuroscience and its ability to show the origin of faith and morality. And you'll also find our regular features that you've come to enjoy. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
feature cover story in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, written by filmmaker Brian Gadawa, titled Avatar, a Postmodern Pagan Myth, details the pagan notion of nature worship in opposition to the Judeo-Christian notion of man's dominion over nature. This idea at the heart of the film Avatar fuels a battle of gods over the future of the planet. This and many other relevant and timely articles can be found in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal, available online at equip.org or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Joining me now, Brian Gadawa. He's the author of the feature article in the Christian Research Journal, Avatar, a Postmodern Pagan Myth, and he has written some of my favorite articles of all time in the Christian Research Journal. He's also a screenwriter for one of my all-time favorite movies, To End All Wars. Yeah, it's great to have you on the broadcast, Brian.
Hey, long time no hear, Hank. Good to talk with you.
It is great to talk with you as well. Before we get into Avatar, you've said that movies are, to our contemporary culture, what the Areopagus was to ancient Greek, Greece, a significant arena of ideas and communication. What is it exactly that makes movies such a powerful form of communication, particularly in our epoch of time?
Well, you know, in a way, I would say Los Angeles and New York, or the media and entertainment empire, is really like the Areopagus. And, you know, of course, that includes television, music, etc. My particular focus on movies, I would say, in many ways, movies and television, but movies in particular, I think, are sort of like the mythic epics of the ancient times, because they tell, you know, myths. In the old times, we nowadays have the negative connotation that myth means something's not true. But that's not necessarily the essence of what myth originally was for. Myth was originally about communicating a culture's values through a narrative or through a story. And so that's what movies do. Movies communicate cultural narratives, cultural values, and that's why, in many ways, whatever the big popular movies are of the current day or the current era, you'll notice they often reflect the zeitgeist or the world spirit of that era. You know, even if you look back in the olden days of movies, you see old movies, whether it's Bridge on the River Kwai or, you know, whatever, name some old movie, and you'll see them expressing the values of their day through stories. Well, it's no different today, and that's why you see a movie like Avatar come out at just the right time. Yeah, right. But it comes out at a time when the religion of environmentalism, and when I say that, I don't mean just, you know, care for the environment. I don't mean people who just want to make sure that we're not polluting the planet. I mean environmentalism in this day and age has become a fanatical religion that carries with it a whole belief system and worldview, and it's not surprising to me that Avatar is the embodiment of that very religion that is now popular all over the globe.
And again, Avatar is the feature article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Is worth the price of the journal alone. Subscribe today. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI for less than the price of a dinner, really, less than $40. You can have a subscription for an entire year, $72 for 2 years. So subscribe today. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Avatar is a movie that you are inevitably drawn to no matter who you are. I can tell you, Brian, I sat in a movie theater with all my kids, my wife, watching Avatar, spellbound, but we spent a lot of time talking about it afterwards and talking about some of the things you bring out in the article. You talk about how Avatar actually suffers from what you call a white savior racist myth.
Yeah. You know, but just by way of reminder, or for those who may not have seen the movie, although it's surprising if you haven't, you know, it's real quickly to just recap it for people. It's the story of Jake Sully, who's a crippled Marine who comes to this new planet Pandora, and he is supposed to help them connect with the local natives, the Na'vi, because this corporation wants this. Earth is running out of energy, and the natives are living in a big tree that happens to be on top of a huge deposit of this element called unobtainium. You know, you could consider that oil or anything else, right? And they want to get that energy, but they have to get rid of the natives, move the natives in order to get at it. So they're using these guys in their avatar-like bodies, which means it's sort of like the Matrix. They jack into a pod, and it projects their consciousness into these beings, bodies of the Na'vi. So it's kind of like you're one of the Na'vi. You know, the hero and a couple other people are the Na'vi, so that they can go and speak to the Na'vi and try to persuade them. But then, of course, it goes out of control, and the corporation, with its evil military people backing it, don't want to wait, and they just want to try and kill the natives, get them out of the way, and get at the energy. And then the hero, Jake, then turns and starts to and realizes, oh, this is bad. I don't want to be on this kind of civilization. I want to help the Na'vi and fight them against the people who actually brought me here. And then has the big battle at the end. So just to recap, that's what the story is about. And so,
Well, that's a good recap. But look, what I want to drive at here, and thank you for that recap, because for me, I haven't seen it for a while, but that's the best recap I've ever heard. But you're talking in the article about how Avatar suffers the white savior racist myth,
right,
some other myths we want to talk about.
Yeah, the white savior racist. What I mean is, it's definitely a postmodern movie, and it attempts to critique Western civilization, which is embodied in the Earthlings coming to the Pandora, and it tries to critique Western civilization as imperialistic and cruel. And so in so doing, it is a postmodern myth. But ironically, it also sort of contradicts itself, because the hero of the story is a white savior who comes basically, and this is reflected in many ancient myths as well. He's a man who comes from the sky. He's white, and he it is only through this white guy becoming one of the natives, incarnating, becoming one of the natives, that these natives are able to overcome the evil Western imperialist Americans, basically, which is what it's all a metaphor for, right? And, you know, that's a metaphor for not only manifest destiny in America in the past, but as well, it's a metaphor by Cameron. He tries to make it an expression of the modern-day Bush era and us being in Iraq and et cetera. So, but the irony here is, the natives who are being exploited end up being saved, but they can only do it by the white man becoming one of them and helping them against the superior technology of the imperialists. So what it actually is saying is that this evil the evil white imperialist person is the only one who can actually save them. They can't save themselves because they're not superior. And that's sort of a funny contradiction in my mind. But you know what? I want to bring a positive note on this. This is why not every movie's all bad, and one of the problems with us as apologists is we tend to just harp on everything that's wrong, and we neglect to talk about the things that are good. There's a side of Avatar that connects with Christians, because look, it's the story of someone who comes from the sky to the people who need help, and he incarnates and becomes one of them. He even dies for them and becomes one of them permanently. So there's a reflection of Christianity in there as well. Now, I'm not saying it is a Christian story, but like The Matrix and other movies, it sort of takes some of the Christian story itself and twists it in its own direction. So, you know, I just wanted to make that note that there's some positive elements of the movie that I really loved. I mean, I did not like the worldview of the film, but there were some very powerful things. One other powerful element is that I thought was can be positive but twisted for the wrong means, is it really does show you through this hero who becomes one of the Na'vi, he does learn to see the world through others' eyes, through another view. And oftentimes we are ignorant in that. And when we are wrong, sometimes we are imperialistic, sometimes we are not thoughtful of others. We need to see the world through other people's eyes in order to learn where we may be wrong. So there's some truth to that. But of course, taken to its extreme, it can be used to claim all worldviews are relative, and so therefore let's not say one worldview is superior to another. And that's, of course, what Avatar does. It twists it to a wrong direction.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, Brian. I mean, isn't that the problem with all of this? The movies that we watch so often are syncretistic. They see a little bit of good in Hinduism and Buddhism and animism and ancestor worship and, oh, yeah, Christianity as well.
Yeah, The Matrix was the first postmodern embodiment of that, but I think Avatar is the next, you know. And again, I got to say it, in a way it's brilliant. That's why so many people are connecting to it, because it is relativistic and has a little bit for everyone. Now, as Christians, that's ultimately offensive towards our understanding of Yahweh and his son, Jesus, are exclusivistic. However, I think that's why the movie is connecting with people all over the world like no other movie. There's positive Hindu elements in there. You've got the Na'vi, who are like blue, which is very similar to the Hindu deities. There's a lot of language and words in there that reflect Hindu concepts as well as Native American animistic concepts. You know, so you've got, and even some Jewish parallels. The word Na'vi for the people is actually the word for prophet in Hebrew. So there's a lot of these elements that are mixing it together, and you're right. That's the selling point in a relativistic age is relativism. You make a movie, and you sort of have a little bit of everything in there for everybody, and then everyone likes it. But you're right. In the end, it's ultimately, well, I would say in the end, relativistic stories, just like relativistic philosophies, ultimately crumble and are contradictory, and I think that's the case with Avatar as well.
When we come back from the break, I want to ask Brian Gadawa whether it was right or wrong for me to take my wife and children to see Avatar. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Do remember, the Christian Research Journal is an award-winning magazine no Christian family should be without. It is available. You can subscribe online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. But if you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, please remedy that woeful situation immediately. You can call during the break or even right now, 7000-CRI. Again, that number, 888-7000-CRI. CRI. You can also subscribe online at equip.org. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we could not do what we are doing. And what we're doing is not only making an impact on Western civilization, but having a dramatic impact today in the East as well. We'll be talking about that more on future editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, my guest, Elliot Miller, he's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. He'll be back with us before the end of the broadcast. And Brian Gadawa, he is the author of the feature article, Avatar, A Postmodern Pagan Myth. You want to get the journal just for this article. Trust me. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. We'll be right back with more of Brian Gadawa.
If you'd like to know more about atheists and their quest for objective morality and other topics discussed in today's broadcast, we invite you to start or renew your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Right now is the perfect time to order because we've just released our latest edition. You can order online securely at equip.org or by calling us at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Don't go away. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal to strengthen and enhance your relationship with God. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, order online at equip.org, or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. If you'd like to ask a question on air about the current issue of the journal or talk about doctrinal discernment, critical thinking, or reasons for faith and ethics, then call us right now. The number is 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Talking to Elliot Miller and Brian Gadawa. Elliot Miller is editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. We'll be talking to him again in just a few moments. But on the line with me as well, Brian Gadawa. He is the author of the cover feature article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's titled Avatar, a Pagan Postmodern Myth. And Brian, we talked about in the first segment of how Avatar suffers from the white savior racist myth, the idea that a white man is needed to save a less developed race who lacks the intelligence and fortitude to overcome adversaries on their own. So it's actually accidentally politically incorrect. But another myth in Avatar is the exaltation of the noble savage. Talk about this idea of the noble savage and how that's a myth.
Yeah, the Noble Savage was, of course, made popular by Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and that was many years back. And the Noble Savage myth is the idea that it's a theory that comes out of Romantic philosophy, which is the belief that the problem with mankind. You know, everyone has this has a belief of something's wrong with us and how do we fix it. That's what all philosophies and religion have. Well, in the Noble Savage myth, it's the belief that what is wrong with us is not inherent sinful nature. No. What's wrong with us is civilization. It is civilization that corrupts the human. And so, therefore, when you go back into natives or indigenous tribal peoples who have not been affected by modernization or Western culture, what you're going to find is a people who are at one with nature, harmonious with each other, and they are more noble because they are the noble savage, see? And they will not be corrupted like we are, because after all, we all know Western civilization is what is corrupt with its greed and its militarism and its imperialism, right? So that's sort of the belief of the Noble Savage. And so this is why in the movie Avatar, you know, we see the earthling Westerners, the greedy corporation who doesn't care about people. They just want to kill people and get the energy. You've got the violent military who's supporting them, who just loves to kill people, and they don't, you know, they care about money and killing people. And that's sort of the, oh, and then you have the scientist, you know, who can be good or bad. And in the movie Avatar, science is actually the depersonalization of it's the dehumanizing of humanity, because it reduces everything to material structures and to machines, right? So the science does that, and it sort of takes the soul out of us, right? So that's sort of the Western civilization that's supposed to be coming in, and that's all bad, except for the scientist, who kind of learns a few things. And then on the other side, the Na'vi, who are the peace-loving blue people, and they're at one with nature, even literally in the movie, where they can connect with nature with their hair tendrils so that they can become one with the dragon and be able to fly with it. And all so that's the picture, that's the portrait that they display. But of course, we, you know, what I say in the article is, you know, history just doesn't bear that out, folks. I mean, every single indigenous tribal people are just as violent, evil, and wicked as any other civilization in history, whether it's the bloody human sacrifices of the Mayans and the Aztecs. You know, in some ways, I would say that the Mel Gibson's movie Apocalypto is a much more accurate picture of the noble savage, which is not so noble, because in Apocalypto we see that the indigenous tribal peoples are actually just as wicked and violent as anybody else. And that's the lie, because of course what you're really saying when you say that is we need to destroy Western civilization and we need to go primitive. And God only knows what will happen if we try to do that.
I want you to help me out here. This is a real practical question that I began to pose just before the break, and that is there an apologetic that you can make to rationalize my taking my wife and children to see Avatar? In other words, is there any good that can come out of taking your family to a movie like this?
I do believe there is. Now, I don't believe that it's the same for everyone. I do believe, you know, much like Paul talked about several times in the scriptures, where not everything's a sin for some people, but it is for others, depending on your conscience, number one. And, you know, eating meat, sacrifice to idols, that whole issue. And I think that does show us that there are some things that, you know, you have to take into account different perspectives, and it's not for everyone. And so on the one hand, I do appreciate a person who might say, well, I don't want to give my money. You know, when I go to a movie, I'm giving my money to them, and the more money they get, the more movies they're going to make like that. And there's a certain element of truth to that, definitely. On the other hand, there's also the other truth that is Christians live in the world, not of it. And this is my Mars Hill apologetic, which Paul didn't just, like, know the shallow references of his culture. He spent a lot of money buying books of the, because when he was speaking to the pagans of his day, he was not only quoting them, he was using a lot of their ideas integrated with his own new definitions. So my point there is, Paul obviously invested time and money into buying materials, you know, to whatever degree he could, in order to know the pagan philosophies of his day so he can interact with them. And so I think that there's room for Christians who say, hey, look, we're part of this culture, everyone's talking about it, and I want to bring Christ to everyone. Well, if I'm standing there, I can't say a single thing because I never saw the movie, and everybody else is talking about it. I don't get to apply Christ to it in as effective way as I could. And the other aspect of it, but it's not, I don't just see it as a utilitarian thing. I also see there's a side to it that that these stories, movies, are a mixture of good and bad. Nothing. We live in a fallen world, and there's nothing that's going to be absolutely good, nothing that's absolutely bad, and that there is much good that comes out of movies like Avatar. Like one thing I already mentioned, which was, I watched that movie and I was convicted about my need to be more sensitive to try to see the world through other people's eyes. There's a lot of truth to that. There is a lot of truth to, we shouldn't trample over people in order to take their, you know, take something that they have, you know. There's a lot of truth that's in Avatar, and the purpose, like what you did with your family, is the best thing. It's watch the movie and then spend time talking. It's because we don't spend time talking it that it becomes negative. But if you talk it through, then you're able to say, this is what I liked, this is what I agreed, this is what I thought was powerful and was good and true. I was moved by the love story, man. I mean, that was my favorite part of the movie, was the love story. And so, you know, there are beautiful truths in Avatar, and then you'd speak about, but here's where I think they may be twisted, here's where I think they disagree with us as Christians, because all people, whether Christian or non-Christian, we all, like the Bible says, we all know the truth of God. Some of us just suppress it. And when we suppress it, when a sinner suppresses it, they twist it. And so we can still connect to them with various truths, but then we have to point out to our kids or whatever. And in so doing, in pointing out to them where we disagree, but also where we might agree and like, we're developing in them the ability to be discerning and on their own. Because listen, Christians' number one problem in interacting with the culture is that they've been taught what to think too much without also teaching them how to think. And then what happens is they get out in that real world, they don't know how to think, and their faith crashes to the ground. And so I think what you did was a good thing, especially in light of the fact that I don't think it was a particularly odious, you know, there wasn't like excessive sex and violence and other issues that you also have to deal with. You know, it was a PG-13 movie, and like I said, it reflects a thinking of today in today's era, and there's some good to that, and there's a lot of bad to it, so it helps them to discern.
Brian Gadawa, I appreciate very much the fact that you write for the Christian Research Journal, and you are an incredible communicator as well, so thank you so much for being on the broadcast today.
Thanks for having me, Hank.
God bless you, my friend, and I want to bring Elliot Miller back into the conversation, the Christian Research Journal dealing with Avatar, a postmodern pagan myth. It is the cover feature story in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. And Elliot, we've got some pretty great people writing for this magazine.
Well, I am sitting back here just really enjoying the conversation, just like everybody in the listening audience is. Brian is a wonderful thinker and a wonderful writer, and this article, I got to say, you know, number one, I think this issue of the journal is the best one. It's my favorite one we put out so far this year. I like every article in it. I think it's very relevant and contemporary, and it's got really solid apologetic treatments of every subject. But I do think the high point of the article this time around is Brian's article on Avatar. And so I agree with you that article itself is definitely worth the price of the issue itself. And people just have to get this. But it reminds me of the article that he wrote for us on The Matrix. The article that he wrote for us on The Matrix, I thought that was so good that when the Evangelical Press Association had their awards this is like for the general article category where all the magazines in evangelicalism are submitting what they think is their best article. I submitted Brian's article on The Matrix, and it took first place. I'm going to do that again this year with this article because this article is wonderful. Brian just, first of all, he's in the film industry. He understands it from the inside out. Number two, he is a very well-read apologist. He has background in religion, philosophy, ethics, culture, and, of course, film. And he's able to bring all of this background to bear to really help you see where these ideas are coming from, you know, why they appeal to people today, and where they go astray from biblical truth and therefore go astray from truth, period, and run aground. But he does so with nuance, as you just heard in this interview, in which he, you know, he noted things that were good about the movie, which is true. You know, I mean, this very much reminds me of Star Wars, which I was around for. I remember going to see the first one, and in there you have the Force, which is a clearly pantheistic concept, you know, the good side and the dark side of the Force. But at the same time, you have the whole issue of temptation and the way that Darth Vader was tempted and fell, and Luke Skywalker had to deal with temptation, you know, and these are biblical themes. And so you have a mixture of both biblical and unbiblical concepts in there. And so you can't just make one comment on a movie like that and do it justice. You have to look at it from different angles. That's what Brian does.
Elliot Miller is going to stay with me right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. We'll continue talking about the Christian Research Journal, taking some of your calls, and we'll play that on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want to join the conversation, the number to dial right now, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And please do go to the World Wide Web at equip.org and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the broadcast.
The Christian Research Journal provides well-researched, biblically grounded articles and illuminating illustrations from award-winning authors and artists in each edition. This is just one more reason to call CRI and start your subscription. Just call 888-7000-CRI and tell the resource consultant you'd like to receive or give the Christian Research Journal. Or order online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. You can also write to us, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org
or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.